Good morning. 7:15 a.m. Saturday, September the 30th, 2016. Last day of the month. It's a chilly morning. It's a almost completely overcast morning. It was a little bit of sunshine, a little break in the clouds way off to the east, which may have closed up by now, given the light level. The sun has at least got up so that the cloud deck has obscured it. It's also a bit chilly. It's in the high 50s, but it's a cold, dark 50. I don't know what I'm going to talk about today. Yesterday was pretty much taken up in technical discussions in various places around the interwebs. I'm looking at a tool called Review Meta, which is alleged to spot products on Amazon that have questionable, what they carefully avoided calling fake, and they're now categorizing as unnatural. And the algorithms that they're using, you know, they might work for toothpaste, but I don't think they really work for books. I might have mentioned this yesterday. I've forgotten. I don't know what I talked about yesterday. I also had an interview with Recommended Fiction Writers about the Amazon ecosystem. I talked about the bucket of pennies analogy. And particularly when it comes to ebooks, I think Mark Stevens did make an interesting point that I've been pondering. The ebooks cost pretty much nothing. The paperbacks? Yeah, they have some cost. I'm not sure it's a great deal of cost. I'm not sure it's probably more than a penny, but if it's more than a buck, I'd be surprised. And that's not Amazon anyway, that's CreateSpace. And while Amazon is the storefront, CreateSpace is an external entity. So we talked about the problem that mainstream publishers had, in that they can't publish everything in order to throw it up against the wall to see what sticks. They have to make their best guess about what it might be for their limited production slots and throw those up against the wall and see if anything sticks, which is basically what they're doing. And Amazon is able to publish virtually everything. They don't care which book is going to break out, which book is going to make them $1 million, because they're going to publish all of it, everything that comes their way. They don't have a problem of scale. They can scale up because they have the server capacity and the processing power to make it all work. Now, granted, that was a big investment that they've grown over time. But what's that lets them do is something that the traditional presses can't. So we talked a bit about that, and then we talked a bit about the presentation that I did at Gold a couple of weeks ago about the ecosystem of the Amazonian jungle. Talked about the difference between a hard and a soft launch, and how each of them achieves a different goal. Both of them work. But if you're trying to do a soft launch goal for visibility and extended income, it doesn't quite make it with a hard launch. And likewise, if you're looking for a high rank, for the sake of saying that you've had a high rank for a day or so, soft launch won't give it to you. Soft launch will give you a lower rank, in many cases a much lower rank. But it will let you maintain that rank for a longer period of time. Which means if Amazon decides to toss you a bone, then you can take advantage of it by having a solid platform of sales that Amazon love can launch from. And yeah, it does create a hell of a spike. But when the rocket ride is over and you start coming down, you don't go down to zero again. You go down to pretty much where you would have been if the spike hadn't happened, and you'll continue on from there. It'll be a little bit higher, at least for a few days. Eventually you'll get back down to the level where the windfall from Amazon ages out. And pretty much all of my windfalls, all of my spikes have now aged out for Milk Run. The sales rank is mid-800s and aiming for 1,000 real fast, probably by the end of the weekend. Good morning. But my author rank, my position among all the other authors on Amazon, is that I'm still number 21 of all science fiction authors. So that means that there are only 21 authors in science fiction selling better than me at the moment. Now, that's subject to change. But I'm ahead of some people like Joshua Dalzell, who has a very successful promotional package with several other science fiction writers. I'm ahead of David Weber, which is gratifying, although it won't last for me, but David Weber will still be there when I'm back down into the thousands. I spent some time talking on Kindle boards about, oh my goodness, is it raining? I haven't been on Kindle boards for a while, a long while, like maybe a year. The review meta conversation there was interesting, and I pointed out some flaws with the software to the group that was there. I'm not going to bother trying to educate review meta. They clearly have some sort of agenda and are not really interested in fixing it. So I spent some time explaining to people my perception of reviews and the utility of reviews and what they actually measure from an author standpoint. From a reader standpoint, they don't really measure anything. I get rather impatient with people who think that reviews measure the quality of the story. And the problem is that they only measure one person's perception of the story. And while I am happy to have them, don't get me wrong, I'm happy that they're there. I'm happy that QuarterShare has 729 reviews. But it's been 7 years getting them. So about 100 reviews a year. And, you know, they're still coming in. They're still... I noticed I had one the other day that was less than a day old. So they're still coming in. People are still coming. People are still leaving reviews. Monk post. People are still leaving, I can't believe this is a 5-star book, reviews. Why would anybody give this piece of trash 5 stars? I don't know. Maybe their tastes differ from yours. Maybe their expectations about what the book was really about different from yours. Maybe the book that they read through a different filter than yours. There's a lot of reasons for 5-star reviews. There's a lot of reasons for 1-star reviews. Very few of them have anything to do with the book, and much more to do with the person reading it. Oh, easy dog. Dogs. It's a big dog and a little dog. So from that perspective, it's an interesting challenge. How do you make an algorithm? How do you make a computer program to determine whether or not the reviews are legit? And the problem is that the words matter. The words count. When it comes to literature in particular, words count. And the problem is they're doing things like counting words. But they're counting words in a mechanical sense. They're unable to differentiate the phrases that are expected based on the content that's being reviewed. They're being, coming of age. I would expect coming of age to be a pretty common phrase used in the Golden Age, particularly quarter share. The first 3 shares, I'd expect that to be a pretty common phrase. And yet, if enough people use it, it flags the book as potentially problematic, even if the reviews are negative, are below 3 level. Which is not exactly proving what they are setting out to prove. So I spent some time talking to people about that yesterday, and the day before, actually. Last evening, I spent some time talking about one of the threads was earnings expectations for self-published authors, and the problem is it's one of those silly questions. It's a question that doesn't really have any logical answer, because of the nature of the business, which is art. What's the earnings expectations of an artist? Well, it's pretty low. You shouldn't really expect a lot. You should expect to spend a lot of time honing your craft, finding an audience, working on your distribution, working on your image, working on how things, how you want things to go, if you're a do-it-yourself author, do-it-yourself artist in general, and do-it-yourself author actually has a lot of advantages in that if I create a book, I can sell it as many times as I can sell it, and make a profit on every sale. If I paint a picture, if I take a month, if I take a week to paint a picture, I can only sell the original once, which isn't to say I couldn't make prints and sell as many prints as I could, which is one opportunity. And you can sell the prints for a lot less. Signed numbered editions, you could sell prints for less. But when you're doing, like my elder is doing commissions for various people, and can only sell them once because they are unique commissions for that person. So a week's worth of work or 2 days worth of work, you only get 1 day's worth of pay. If that. It's sprinkling just a little tiny bit. Every once in a while I get a raindrop on my hand, and there are little round damp spots on the sidewalk, you know, wet spots on the sidewalk. Cool. So yeah, that was yesterday. I spent some time working on Asphalt Warrior stuff. I spent some time working on the website too. The host. I've disabled some of the plugins in NathanLowell.com that seem to have been slowing things down and weren't actually contributing a lot to the site. One of the plugins that I had to unplug was Word Table, because it requires some support that I don't have on Bluehost. I unplugged a whole bunch of things that may or may not have broken the site. I didn't see anything broken, but I really need this to be a relatively vanilla site. And unfortunately, I think the templates are eating it pretty much alive. I did go through and knock out a bunch of plugins on Nathan Lowell peer reviewed, and again on, I actually changed the template on TOMMW to a newer one, and gave it a new graphic image. And I don't know if it's faster or not. I threw away a bunch of plugins that I didn't like, that weren't doing anything, that weren't contributing. I tried to install a cache, but I couldn't get the cache to install because, again, it requires a level of support that I don't have on Bluehost, which is becoming somewhat problematic. No, I'm not ready to change yet. Don't get excited. If I do decide that I'm going to change, I am probably going overseas. I'm probably going to 1984 hosting in Iceland, simply because their operating expenses are lower, which means I should be able to get a decent price and have good service. And even though the pipes are longer for people in North America, they're actually shorter for people in Europe. And they are fat pipes. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't I don't know how I'm going to pursue this. What I do know is that I'm going to try to focus on getting the next book out so that I can have it ready to release in November, so that it's ready to go to Podium in December, and we'll keep moving from there. But here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.